Russia bought Ukraine's government bonds. And in this way, Russia provided some financial help to Ukraine now when Ukraine is in a very difficult financial situation. Well, for example, Russia and China buy the US government bonds. We credit the American government. Does it mean that we are pulling the strings? Does it mean that we have any influence on the US government? I'm not sure that's true. So I think Russia was quite in the limits of the legitimate there.
Yes.
This cannot be said about the EU because the foreign minister of Germany came to Kiev and he participated in the protests. He spoke to the protest participants, urging them to stay on. The speaker of the Lithuanian parliament was also there. Just today, the head of the EU diplomacy, Catherine Ashton, came to Kiev and there were no Russian officials. I'm sure that if a Russian official came to Kiev, there would be a scandal. In the UK, in the EU, in the
yes.
US, they would say that this is the big Russia, the big Russian brother coming
but
back
Ms.
to
Babish,
Ukraine. No one is saying it about the EU. It's a double standard.
Yeah, the point you raised there, I'd like to put it to Mr. Williams. Mr. Williams, when we do make a comparison here of the roles of Russia from one hand and the EU from the other, a lot of people are saying that Russia merely was giving an alternative offer to the Ukrainian government, but the amount of intervention, they say, coming from the EU has been a lot more because, as our guest there was saying, the presence of people like John McCain, Victoria Nuland, Catherine Ashton, Guido Westerwelle in the streets of Kiev, among others, and also because the package that the EU offered did include some aspects that the Ukrainian government was seeing as intervention in its internal affairs.
Well,
no,
that's exactly
I'm not
true
a
because
proponent of one
that question
side
to
or
Mr.
Other.
Williams.
Yeah. I'm not a proponent of one side or the other. The core issue here is what the Ukrainian people want. And the fact that there are supporters from either side neither supports nor detracts from their particular case. You know, in struggles all over the world, strange bedfellows have come in. Fascist Japan supported the Indian liberation struggle during the Second World War, for example. At the same time, the Soviet Union did until 1941. So people will always accept support from wherever it comes when they're desperate. The European Union has pushed, I think we've mentioned on this program before, neoliberal policies which are not helpful to the Ukraine or, in fact, to the European Union. John McCain is an opportunist and will go there for a photo shot, no doubt at all. And no doubt the Russians, on this occasion, did produce a lot of solid, tangible support. The question is whether the president could have continued negotiating further, brought the opposition on board, spread the cards on the table and says, this is what we have, this is what we can do. I think one of the things that precipitated this was just how sudden his decision was and how it was not discussed, it was not debated. It was an overnight decision, pretty much.
So you're saying that there is a genuine movement here and the government has been making mistakes and naturally there is going to be intervention in some way or another. Wouldn't you go as far as saying that this has become a battleground now for what some are calling the US-led alliance from one side and Russia on the other?
I would say that that's shadow boxing. The real issue is the people on the ground. And I think we obscure it and we do them a disservice on both sides if we say it's foreign intervention. The people in the west, in the east of the Ukraine, are not behaving as Russian surrogates, and the people on the other side are not behaving as EU surrogates. They are venting what they consider to be their real issues. And we have to remember the opposition is not it's not united. The one thing they have in common is opposition to the president. Otherwise, they're a very motley bunch.
Mm-hmm.
But we have to remember one of the things that's going in them is their previous leader, Julia Tymoshenko, is still in jail on what most people outside of Ukraine regard as politically trumped charges from the president. So, I mean, that's a burning issue. All of these are issues.
Yes.
And I really think that looking at it from the outside, of course, we tend to see it almost like a soccer match in terms of which team we support one way or the other. It shouldn't be like that. It's what's happening there in the arena itself that matters, and what they're the issues. Hmm. And my attitude to both the West and to Russia in this is a plague on both their houses. They should not be using so many people in such a vulnerable area as their political football. This is an issue that the people in Ukraine should be allowed to sort out with as much help as we can all give them under the circumstances.
Well, now in Moscow, Mr. Babich, do you think it would be doing disservice to people in the streets if we focus too much on the issue of foreign intervention and we don't consider what the protesters are saying? They're calling the government a dictatorship. They're accusing the president of having all the power and refusing to reform the constitution, etc.
Well, I think that foreign intervention is, of course, bad, but I don't see any proof that there is intervention on the Russian side. There was not a single Russian official who came to Kiev since the start of the crisis. Victoria Nuland from the State Department was feeding cookies to the demonstrators right on the streets of Kiev under the cameras. I think it was indeed beyond the limits of the legitimate, and it was really strange, I would say. But Russians never did anything like that. And President Putin today, when he was asked whether Russia would continue economic support for Ukraine if Ukraine has a new government, he said that Russia would continue providing help to any government that wants cooperation with Russia, economic cooperation. I think it's quite legitimate. You should not expect, for example, the United States to give economic aid to Iran, because Iran calls the United States a big Satan. In the same way, it will be hard for Russia to provide economic assistance to a government that says that Ukrainians, I'm quoting the Ukrainian national leaders, Ukrainians are anthropologically superior to Russians. And here is one point where I really disagree with what Ian said, when he said that, militarist Japan, when it was fighting during the Second World War, supported the Indian nationalist movement, it was nice. I'm not sure that anything that Nazi Germany did was nice. And the fact that the Ukrainian nationalists were allies of Nazi Germany in 1941 and in 1939 when they helped the Germans to defeat the Poles, I think it was a disgrace for the Ukrainians, I mean for the Ukrainian nationalists, because everyone knew what Hitler was about already in 1939.
Well,
Hitler was about racism, and the Ukrainian nationalists knew
it. I do have to raise an historical point there, please.
Go ahead, Mr. Williams.
In 1939, Moscow invaded Poland in conjunction with the Soviet Union. We should have a sense of history about this. And part of the issue here is that what is now Ukraine was in fact part of Poland in those days. It was taken away by the Red Army. Now, whether that was a good thing or a bad thing, that was the historical fact. And this is the problem with looking at things from an international perspective.
You are right, and it was justly condemned in Russia, this pact between Stalin and Hitler. But I would like to point your attention that in 1939, the Ukrainian nationalists in the west of Ukraine, which was indeed or had been part of Poland until 1939, supported Stalin, because it was at this moment that for the first time in 1,000 years Ukraine became one nation.
Okay.
So the
Ms.
Ukrainian nationalists supported both Stalin
you.
And Hitler.
We are running out of time. We've just got under a minute. If both of you can give your concluding remarks. Mr. Williams first in under 30 seconds, please. What do you think Ukraine needs now to get out of this crisis?
I sincerely hope that the president can make the painful compromises, offer some form of staged elections along with Parliament and his own office, and try to reunite Ukraine and rebuild it in a genuinely democratic, independent way.
Yes. Mr. Babich, if you can also, in less than 30 seconds, tell us what you think about that. What should be done?
I think the EU should stop ramming through its decisions, forcing them on Ukraine. Russia will, I hope, will provide economic aid to Ukraine, and Russia and the EU at last will cooperate, and we will help the Ukrainian people out of a very difficult situation where they find themselves now, and the Ukrainian people will reject their fascists, reject their neo-Nazis, who are a primarily a danger to the Ukrainian people and not to the other nations.
Thank you very much, Mr. Dmytro Babych, with the Voice of Russia radio station with us live from Moscow. A big thank you to our guest in London as well, Mr. Ian Williams with Foreign Policy in Focus. Thank you so much, everyone, for staying with us here on another edition of The Debate from Michal Maleski. Until our next program, it's goodbye.